Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
The Cubby House is a show about two cub-identifying guys exploring the big and hairy issues in and around the bear community.
This program is designed for a mature audience. It may contain adult themes, sex and drug references, and of course, coarse language. Listener discretion is advised.
And welcome to the 23rd of January 2012. I'm Cookie.
And I'm Kevin.
And thank you very much once more to Kiss My Arts for another wonderful show.
Well done for not stuffing that up yet.
Yes. And Kevin, happy Chinese New Year.
Happy. Well, it's the second day of the Chinese New Year, isn't it?
Well, yes. Yes,
it was. Happy Chinese New Year. Yes. We survived all the fireworks and the dragon that was running around in the streets earlier.
Yes, yes. I'm just still walking over the mess. Now, tonight, as usual, we have a packed full of sticky jam. Sticky,
okay, do you want to try that one again?
No, because you wrote it, you do it.
All right. So tonight, as usual, is packed full of sticky jam. We have, well, we did have a few guests, but we're down one guest, unfortunately. Poor Nathan Little is not feeling well, so we wish you the best. We hope you feel better. Instead, we've roped Dr. George in to actually be our guest host for tonight. And he'll have a quick discussion with us about a very serious sexual health concern that he recently mentioned in his blog. As well as a few other tidbits that he'll be passing out for us. And Cookie will, on the Kink Corner, have a chat with us about the colours, and I'm really worried about this, lime green and tan.
Yes, yes.
We'll find out what that's about.
Find out a bit later. Now, in bear news, Mr. Dr. George Falcon-Smith will be talking about stealthy seeding, which is something that came up. I was a little bit concerned about. We'll hear more about that later.
We will. While there's still time to enjoy what sun there is out there, Cookie dishes the rules to beach fun while getting a tan-free glow.
Tan-line-free
glow. Oh, God.
Yes, and our artist in the rough, which is the segment we're bringing back as our single section, tonight will be Mr. Bear Steve.
You'll then also go through a recipe that you've put together for Australia Day.
Yes, a very saucy lamb marinade. And you will be discussing with George in particular the mixing party drugs with depression.
You can't tell that we've thrown this together at the last second at all, can you?
No, of course not.
It's just smooth, smooth. However, we do actually have a discussion topic that we would like to hear back from you on.
Yes.
And it is, how will you be celebrating your Australia Day? Want to have your say on the Cubby House project? Contact us through Facebook at facebook.com/thecubbyhouse. The Cubby House Project on Joy 94.9. And the music for tonight's show is actually a special shout out for everyone who's still buzzing along from Vic Bear's Beast on the weekend.
I hear it was one to remember for quite a while.
Oh, it was very beastly. Beastly.
Yes, I'm sure you couldn't come up with any other word. So we're just going to say hello to our guest of tonight, Dr. George Falcon-Smith. How are you going?
Yeah, good, thanks, guys. How are you?
Wonderful, wonderful. Now, we've got in you as a host, so we're going to be quick in asking you these quick, rapid-fire questions.
Oh, dear.
The first thing that comes into your mind when we say these questions. Sir, your age?
38.
Name one thing you miss about being a kid.
Getting away with a lot of the stuff that I did when I was a kid.
Because you don't get away with it now. Anyway, do you have any hidden talents?
I think I'm a bit of a whore. I just put all my talents up front. Fairly.
Right.
Yes, I do. I do have a hidden talent.
And it shall remain hidden by the sounds of it. So what body part do you get caught staring at?
Doodles. It's just terrible. Like, me in the gym changing room is shocking. And it's because I used to wear glasses. Anyway, I get busted all the time.
All right, what is the last thing that you bought?
Oh, KFC for dinner.
Busted. Well, we can't really talk. All of us have eaten KFC tonight.
That's so. Right. So what's your current obsession?
Tumblr. Yeah, I'm having fun on there.
Yeah, I'll join you in that one.
Do you have any phobias?
Just the naughty douchebag who made my life hell in primary school. He is my phobia. If he comes to life, I'm going to be very upset.
Hmm.
Sexually, what melts your butter?
Furry tummies and cuddles.
No, I'll come around there in a sec then. If you wake up in a prison cell, what's most likely the crime you've committed?
Gee whiz. Crime of lust? I don't know. I don't really know. That worries me now. Oh, dear. I'll be thinking about that tonight.
Well, someone will have to be wearing a uniform later on, won't they?
Yes, yes, I shall.
All right. You're about to be sent to a desert island and can only carry up to 3 possessions. What would they be?
iPhone, Kindle, and some sort of device to give me Wi-Fi, coffee, and...
No, you've got 3.
Oh, wait, I thought it was 5.
No, it's 3.
Oh, okay, well, ditch the Kindle and keep the coffee.
Okay. Right.
All right. Fair enough.
Right. And now, have you answered any of these questions with a lie?
Oh, probably. I can't keep track of half the crap I say, so yeah, probably.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Good thing we've got him as a host, don't we?
Yeah, it's now all recorded, and I can play back to him anytime.
See, there you go. You'll be able to use that in court when I wake up in jail.
Exactly. Now, how did you get involved in the bear community?
I used to actually be a photographer, so I would go and do the scene photography in Brisbane, and I used to always really like going to BrisBears because the people there were really, really nice and somewhat sexy, and yeah, it was good. I really enjoyed it, so I just ended up hanging with them more and more, and I really like it.
And how long ago was that?
Oh, gee. Well, I suppose officially I started hanging with the bears probably 3 or 4 years ago, but you know, I was doing photos like 15 years ago. I was a bit of a bear chaser at that stage. Yeah,
I suppose being a photographer, you'd be able to see how things change over time.
Definitely. It's quite interesting, boxes of old photos underneath the house, and it's quite nice to be able to look at photos and think, wow, you know, I knew that guy 10 years ago and look at him now and he's just as yummy.
as a community, have you what could you say have been the more notable things that have changed?
I think that there's actually some more unity, and I think that certainly the moving to Melbourne, I've really learnt that it's a very coherent group, that we're really embracing a lot of new and exciting things. The things that are happening at Vic Bears at the moment are just, they're amazing. Like, what bear community does play? You know, that's fantastic. I'm quite proud to be part of this community at the moment.
Oh, and we're glad that you are too.
Yay! Yes.
That play, if you haven't caught on for the last 3 weeks of our show, has been Man Boobs, which currently...
is over.
Just finished.
Yes. The Jiggle Fest is over.
It's over. And it was fantastic. I'm very proud of the whole lot of them. Yeah. Well done, guys.
Yes, congratulations.
And lastly, just so we can get a bit more information on you, describe the first time you went to a gay bar.
Ah, well, the first time I went to a gay bar... I hate to admit it. Here you go. This is how I got arrested. I was underage in high school, but I was theatrical because I was doing one of the local shows in Brisbane. And we went off to the Beat, probably one of Brisbane's most notoriously gay places. And it was really good. I had a bit of a boogie and a bit of a dance and smoked cigarettes like a big boy and coughed all over them. So it was... Oh, look, I don't know. Maybe I wasn't a very good homosexual back then. I'm not sure. I don't even know if I'm a good one now. But anyway, it was lots of fun. And I think future trips out to the gay bars were a lot more fun.
I think we should change our discussion topic for tonight. I think it needs to be references for whether George Horgan Smith is a good gay or not.
Yeah, that'd be good. I'm open for flooded. Hints.
Well, see, you've got to be careful because he's a doctor, so he's always practicing.
Clearly, that part of the show has moved on to you. I'm very glad.
And in part of that practice, I'm noticing that you could probably go a mental health care plan. I don't know. Come and see me. Come and see me. The government stuffed them up, but they're still very lucrative. So, come and see me.
I might just do that.
But
not for that.
Spending too much time around me, are you? Don't answer that question.
I could in many different ways, but no.
More Kylie, less Anne Rice. I've heard.
Well, no.
I'm not touching that with the 10-foot pole.
Yeah, I wouldn't even... No, more no Stephen Meyer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Stephanie Meyer.
Sorry, there you go.
Her name is never mentioned on this radio show ever again.
Right.
Thank you. Sold. Move on.
Moving on, we shall to Bear News and Kink Corner, coming up right after this. I believe we have a Kink Corner coming up right now.
Do we?
Yes.
Do we have a theme song for Kink Corner yet?
Not yet. Stay tuned for the next couple of weeks. I'm researching one this week.
Ooh, is it going to be dirty?
Maybe. Ooh. But might I say, beware of what colour you wear, for it may imply a kink in our wonderful Kink Corner as we look through...
The cornucopia of the rainbow.
Well, the hanky coat, actually.
Well, that too.
Yes. Tonight we are going to be looking at two colours, tan and lime green.
Okay, continue.
Well, put it this way. You scorn your face now, but you won't let me do brown. Not that I like brown. It's just I want to get the info out there.
All right,
But like tan and lime green, what is that? Just cocktails beside the pool? It sounds like a perfectly good fetish, but...
It does, until you find out the tan is actually Capnolagnia. Is that
do you want to try and pronounce it again?
Capnolagnia.
Yes, and for those that may not speak those definitions, it's a smoking fetish. Yes, yes. Now, it is based on...
Does that include cigars?
Yes.
Oh, cool.
Yes, all version of smoking, maybe not the tailpipe of a car. It is based on the sight or image of someone smoking. The specifics do vary. These could include seeing the smoker as a stereotypically sweet and innocent individual behaving in ways that are considered taboo. So think along the line of Marilyn Monroe.
That's so me. Well, not Marilyn Monroe, but I'm sweet and innocent.
Right, sure. Now, for others, it stems from an attraction to more worldly people whose smoking epitomizes their strength and self-confidence. Now, within the gay culture, this fetish is often stems from the image of masculinity. So, again, idealize of images of Tom of Finland style.
Look, I'm not convinced that smoking is masculine. You could be smoking Virginia Slims or something like that, or what are those ones with the little gold bands on it? They're Saint Moritz. How the hell is that bloody butch? Give me a break.
Or menthol.
That makes you sterile, doesn't it?
Oh yes, because we care about that.
Nobody wants to be shooting blanks.
Oi, oi, oi. How it's done, you might ask. While the dominant partner smokes a cigarette, they blow smoke into the face of the submissive or use the latter's mouth or body as an ashtray. Now, this act is generally associated with humiliation of the submissive partner due to the insulting connotations of having smoke blown in one's face, but it may simply be tied to the taste and smell of ash or secondhand smoke in the case of machosic people who do not like humiliation.
Okay, so it doesn't actually have to have an S&M connotation to it, does it?
No.
Okay,
good. It could just be the insults, like, you know, slap in the face with a white glove sort of thing.
You don't need a cigarette to do that, but I suppose it's just more enjoyable when you have a cigarette.
Yes.
Whilst I can understand the whole dissing somebody by blowing smoke in their face, how the hell is a ashtray erotic? Like, have you ever cleaned up after a party? It's like, ew, gross.
As a non-smoker, yes.
Like, I don't know.
Well, different people are triggered by different smells and feelings, and burning is another kink as well, so it could be a combination of that.
Ooh, okay. Mm. Okay.
Now, for lime green, you might want to look up the term citophilia, which is a form of sexual fetishism in which participants are aroused by erotic situations involving food. Yes, my dears, it is a food fetish. Now, in practice, any phallic-shaped food, safely processed, can be used as insertive means, such as you know, vegetables, fruit, some meats, depending on how it's made.
Well, I've got friends who are very strong organic thing, and I had a lovely lady tell me once that she wouldn't ever put anything that wasn't organic inside her body.
Wonderful. Now... There are other situations, as made famous by the movie American Pie, with foods that can be penetrated either as is or with holes drilled in to screw them, such as watermelons.
That's true. Now, you actually have to be careful because there are people who microwave, like, cantaloupes and stuff. I'm not a melon fan myself, either eating or you know, dating. But they can get very hot very, very fast. So maybe you should pop your little finger in before you pop anything else in, just to check.
Yes. Now, things like aphrodisiacs are also a common component of food play. Anything from alcohol to chocolate, for instance. The idea that food induces hormones to get you in the mood.
Serotonin, they say.
Yes.
A little bit of serotonin.
Now, we do not want to leave out the best. We're leaving the best one to last. Body shots or body dining. Now, body shots is when you drink or shoot, say, a tequila in the navel of the body. And the body dining is where the person lays down and either a meal, a banquet, or just a slathering of cream or, say, honey, is served over the body and then someone else eats directly over the body plate.
There is also a ceremony that I've gone to, which is called the Feast of the Beast, at which point fruit and vegetables and sweet things are slathered all over the body. And the point is for a person or a group of people to eat the fruit off without using your hands.
Bobbing for apples, but with a body.
So to speak.
Mm.
With a nice nut and cheese finish.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I'd just like to clarify in closing that there are many crossovers with food play, such as the messy, wet and messy, but it's best to draw a differentiation between that and vorophilia, which is also known as vor, in that food play fetishes food while vor fetishes the act of eating a live creature or being eaten alive. And that is the Kink Corner for this week.
Thank you ever so much for distinguishing between those two. I will not have nightmares tonight at all.
Well, there are some artist work that depicts that, and just wanted to make sure this is not the same.
Well done, Cookie. You've taught us another lesson for today.
Thank you very much.
But coming up next is...
From around the den to around the globe, this is the Bear News.
Now, we've got Dr. George Forgan-Smith in to talk to us about something that is quite disturbing. Like, it disturbed even me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an article you actually wrote on the Healthy Bear blog, which is healthybear.com. Give you a bit of a plug there.
Thank you.
And it was about a website that you actually stumbled across, which would basically leave any morally balanced person quite sick to the stomach. I just want to thank you, first of all, for actually coming on and writing the message in the first place. It is something that is very important and we need to get out there. So I'll just ask you a couple of questions. And
Absolutely. Please.
So for those listeners that are not really aware of the terms we'll be using, what is bareback sex?
Well, look, bareback sex is basically, it's sex without condoms, so that body against body. And, you know, bareback sex in itself usually entails like anal sex, but without condoms.
All right. And what is seeding?
Seeding, well, say you had a garden. If you put seeds into the dirt there, that you are seeding the dirt. So basically the laying of semen into a place.
Sorry, just clarifying, is there any connotation with a particular type of seed in this reference?
Well, I suppose I kind of get that subtle thing there, that it's a difficult one because when we get into the talk about the website, the particular author is talking about branding people. So he's giving his seed, his particular seed, to people, his DNA inside other people's body.
And his main purpose was also for the spreading of HIV, correct?
Whilst he doesn't directly say that, and in some of his blog posts he claims he doesn't know his HIV status, but in other people have said that he does know his HIV status, that yes, that part of it is that people are being branded with his particular strain of HIV. Yes.
All right. And what is stealth seeding?
This is where the rubber kind of hits the road on this one, and I was actually quite sickened to find out about this particular website. So what's actually happening is that I'm all for people to have choices. People can choose to have bareback sex. They can understand the risks and do all of this sort of stuff. And that's fine. That's their choice. However, what's actually happening is that this person is choosing to deceive the people he's having sex with. So he will create what appears to be a safe sex situation. However, things like the condom will be tampered with in such a way that, say, he will have pre-prepared condoms that have been cut so he can place the condom onto his penis, and then when he's having sex, it's just a simple tug of the condom, and the condom's basically around the shaft of his penis, but he can ejaculate into the bottom's ass and do whatever he wishes.
So it really is, I mean, taking the choice out of the situation for the bottom at all, isn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's just despicable. It's disgusting. And I do not understand that, the thing is that he can very easily, because he's in America, he can quickly say, oh, well, this is the First Amendment. I'm just writing fantasy, so that's okay. But the actual blog content creates a number of very important problems, because he trains people how to do it. And as far as I'm concerned, that's the point where we've gone from what could potentially be a fantasy for him, not many other people. However, once he starts training other people to do that, that's seriously disturbing.
Well, the point is, that's where we match him toe for toe and basically go, we can train people to prevent this from happening or to be able to protect themselves, correct?
Absolutely, absolutely. And the weird thing is that in a demented kind of psychotic way, this particular author tells people how to do it. And so his belief is that if a bottom turns up for a session of sex without condoms, then he doesn't want to have sex with condoms. So he actually tells people what you need to do. Let's say if you're a bottom and you want to protect yourself from, look, this person is clearly a very rare commodity. But if you're having sex with people that you don't know, don't trust very well, bring your own condoms. That way you can be 100% sure that the condom hasn't been tampered with. Bring your own lube. That's water-based lube or silicone-based lube, where you know it's not going to destroy the condom in any way. Mm. You need to turn up sober. Don't turn up under the influence of drugs or anything like that, because there's a chance that you may miss out on what's happening. You know, this person's obviously quite sophisticated at what he does. So it's important that you are going into this 100% aware. I'm all for checking the condom, and given the case that there are some people who will either stick their finger through the end of the condom, putting it on porn star style, or, you know, some other damage, but it's if you're having a long session of anal sex, you should be changing the condom over anyway, and that's a great opportunity to make sure the condom hasn't been tampered with in any way.
I mean, if you do happen to think that, you know, even just accidentally the condom has broken halfway through and some semen has actually come in contact with you,
yep.
What should you do?
Well, look, you need to make a decision. If you are HIV negative and you're concerned that you may have been exposed to semen that has HIV in it, you need to go to your local emergency department and ask for PEP, like post-exposure prophylaxis. Yep. That's an important thing, because the sooner you get it started, the sooner and the more effective it will be. If you're HIV positive and you're concerned that you may have been exposed to some other sort of infection, then it's important that you see your doctor, get appropriate swabs, and if anything comes up, get appropriate treatment.
Excellent. Thank you very much for joining us on Bad News for this episode. I know it was a very tough topic, but we do appreciate it. That information needs to go out there.
Absolutely.
You're on the Cubby House with Kevin Cookie and our guest host, Deoctor. George, mate.
What the hell was that?
DRG.
Almost had a mental blank there. Now, we do have an SMS topic, and if you would like to get hold of us, the question we'd like you to answer is, how will you be celebrating your Australia Day?
Want to have your say on the Cubby House project? Contact us through Facebook at facebook.com/thecubbyhouse. The Cubby House Project on Joy 94.9. Do you want to play the next one?
Shut up, you. This is my one this week.
Because even animals have class. Welcome to another installment of Ursine Etiquette.
That's all right, I get this segment this week.
You've stolen it from me.
I know, and all for good reason.
All right, make it quick.
I'm on holidays. I went to a nude beach, my third out of the four in Victoria that are actually legal.
It's like Pokemon, you've got to catch them all.
Well, I'd like to sample them all, yes. Now, the four that we have in Victoria is Sunnyside, which is out near Frankston, Campbell's Cove, which is out Werribee, and then you've also got Southside and Point Impossible, one of which I went, which is out Torquayway. Now, what I'd like to point out, because I know a lot of people, whenever you say something like nude or, you know, blackout or something that doesn't involve, you know, the conventions of technology or the comforts of anything else you do, it doesn't involve sex. I'd like to point out these simple etiquette rules when you go to a nude beach or a nude or clothing optional facility. Now, first of all, stay out of the dunes in terms of the beaches and revegetation areas. They are there to be... That's a general beach thing, don't you think?
I don't know. There are some people who go to those beaches and seem to loiter around the dunes. What's going on there?
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, we all know exactly what they're after.
Yes, well, this is why I want to pull out this particular one. No sexual activity. Those beaches have actually been legalized for the people who want to be nude, not lewd. Because by being lewd, you're kind of breaking up the whole point of what you're there for. Yeah, you're ruining it for other people by just going there and, you know, having sex. Don't you agree? This is not your thing, is it?
I was in Byron Bay, so yeah. I thought more people went for lewd than nude, but what do I know?
You guys obviously aren't nudists, are you?
Oh, well, you know, let's just out ourselves as nudists on live radio, shall we?
Why not? I am a proud naturalist, thank you.
Naturalist? I don't know, because I burn like a crisp. I wouldn't want to get my...
You don't have any ranger in you, do you?
I do. I'm a carrier, so yes. See,
this is another point. Come prepared. Be like a scout. Be prepared.
It's hard enough carrying my tattoos with bloody sunscreen. I'm not covering my everything.
So bring water, food, towels and sunscreen, at least if you're going to a beach nude.
Yes.
You'd back me up on that one.
Sunscreen, yes.
Yes, yes. And Kevin, you'd back me up on this one. No unauthorized photography.
Well, that just goes standard whenever, you know, someone's nude or in jockstraps or wandering around the place. Just don't be creepy and take photos of other people. That's just creepy.
And particularly in children, because that's a very, very harsh line.
How often do you see a child in a jockstrap and don't answer that question?
No, I'm not. But there are some some family facilities that actually do facilitate family naturalism.
So, well, fair enough.
Yes. Things like don't litter, don't wander from established nude areas, obviously, because as soon as you walk out of that magical perimeter, you can be slapped with a fine.
And you might get lost.
Well, that too.
You might get lucky.
God willing.
If you do go to a nudist beach and you do enjoy it, be respectful of others, and when the time comes, stand up for the rights. Because if, like, you know, gay marriage and all that sort of stuff, if there wasn't anybody to stand up and say, hey, we want this or we've got this, it wouldn't exist.
Thank you for standing up for the rights of nude beaches all around Australia.
It's very good of you to raise the flagpole for that one.
Well, the reason I particularly brought this up is Campbell's Cove, which is out Werribee, is very likely to be removed and deregistered as a nude beach because of a marina going up. So I thought I'd like to bring that to the forefront.
I'm sure even rich boat owners like to sort of
get
their kit off.
I don't really want to think about that. No. Thank you for another educational Ursine etiquette.
Thank you.
You're on Joy 94.9, and that was a Flow Rider featuring Sia with the song Wild Ones.
You're on the Cubby House, and we have our another segment. I don't think we've done this one.
No, we haven't. This is first time for this season.
There you go.
Uncovering the diamonds in the fur. Our artists in the rough. This segment is about celebrating the amazing talent that we have within our bear community, and today we are joined by an incredibly talented professional photographer. Welcome, Steve.
Thank you for having me, Kevin.
We have George Forgan-Smith, or Dr. George Forgan-Smith, I should say, and Cookie with us as well.
Hello, hello.
Hello.
Hello, boys. How are you?
So, just for those who know nothing about you, tell us a little bit about yourself in 30 seconds.
Oh, well, you know, I like long walks on the beach. And
a new beach?
I actually hate the beach, so that's not me. I just moved down to Melbourne about a year ago after running my own photographic studio for about 12 years and more or less working towards doing the same thing down here.
Well, let's face it, all the best bears move down to Melbourne, don't they?
They do. They do. We have a great community.
Now, what is your art medium of choice?
Yes, basically photography. So anything nowadays digitally, I love to work in such software programs as Photoshop, Even a bit of CGI or 3D modelling now I'm starting to get into, which, is a very steep learning curve.
And what drove you to actually choose this medium?
When I was about eight years old, my father actually gave me this camera that was totally manual and didn't know how to use it. So I just put a roll of film through it and totally stuffed the whole thing up. But that's how the ball got rolling, basically. So, yeah, I did want to get into cinematography and that type of thing, but that didn't quite work out. So, yeah, photography was the better choice, I think.
So what do you feel you can express through this medium that you couldn't actually express through any others?
Well, basically, I can't paint or draw. my finger painting even doesn't make sense. So, light. I've always kind of seen light, if that makes sense. And basically using the camera as a tool to actually capture it. That's what I enjoy most about it.
So in your professional opinion, how have you been developing the skills at this art?
Basically, when I originally first left school, I did a four-year course to learn the physics of photography. Back then, everything was filmed, but there was no digital whatsoever. And that really gave me the good foundations and basis to learn the art or the craft of photography. Plenty of chemicals, all the good stuff, really. So, yeah, black and white developing, lens construction, all that type of thing.
Wonderful. Now, do you feel that the art you professionally produce reflects you as a person?
I guess not necessarily. It does depend on... If I do happen to come up with a concept, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's a reflection of myself. It just it's more about communicating what I was trying to get across.
So it's more about your subject than about yourself?
Absolutely, yes, yeah.
All right. Do you think your art reflects the bear community at all?
I guess in terms of photographing bears, which I have done, basically I love to reflect masculinity and that type of thing. So anything involving hair and beard, basically.
And lastly, is there anything on a professional level that we can expect from you in the coming year?
As I mentioned beforehand, I'm kind of going at it again in my business, but more of a corporate and advertising kind of slant. But yeah, I'll be doing a little bit more of CGI or 3D modelling and, basically acquiring a studio, hopefully, by the end of the year.
Excellent. And for amateurs like us, where can we find more information about, you know, your work?
Yeah, certainly. Well, I'm on Facebook as Bear Steve, or I do have my commercial website, which is stevescalone.com.
Excellent. We look forward to seeing what you can come up with.
Fantastic, Kevin. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for joining us.
Excellent. Thank you.
You're in the Cubby House on Joy 94.9. And one last topic that we'd like to cover while we've still got Dr. George Forgan-Smith in the studio as guest host is the concept of the downside of party drugs.
So we'll just quickly run through this. On another serious topic, for those of us that don't really know anything about party drugs, or for those of us that are sort of out there and we thought we'd have a frank discussion about the kind of reactions to expect when mixing party drugs and antidepressants, or when taken from people that, you know, are suffering from depression. So, Dr. George, what is your opinion when it comes to mixing party drugs with antidepressants?
Well, it really depends on what the particular drug is. There's lots of different ways that they affect. The main ones that seem to cause the big problems is things like ecstasy. And the reason for that is because the antidepressants are designed to bring up the happy hormone serotonin. Ecstasy does the exact same thing. So you can have a really high level of serotonin that can lead to problems. The other thing is the medicines that you're on. There are some that are extremely risky to use with drugs, and that's particular if you're on tricyclics or some very old-fashioned drugs that probably don't get used much anymore. So it's really about if you can get a very high level of serotonin in the body, that can create a syndrome that can be quite scary
as for the person, as well as the people around them.
Now, what sort of side effects are we talking about over, you know, days, weeks, months, years, even permanently?
Well, the thing is that in the initial phases, if somebody's going to be having a reaction, it's most likely that they're going to have problems with their heart rate might go up. They may become very scared, anxious, maybe even a little bit paranoid. In the context of, say, a dance party, the other thing is that their body temperature can go up quite high. So there's a very high risk of dehydration, but also of hypothermia, which can be particularly dangerous if it happens. In the medium term, you know, the other things we worry about is like Ecstasy Tuesday, where the serotonin levels dump back down really, really low. And that can precipitate people feeling really sad, suicidal, and that's a very risky period as well. There's research with regards to the actual ecstasy, and it's one of the drugs that can permanently change the amount of serotonin receptors in the brain. And we're talking about people who are doing, like, say, 12, 13, 14 ecstasy tablets over a weekend. However, we know that they do have permanent brain damage, and they're basically grumpy shits.
So what sort of measures do you take if you think one of your mates might be crossing the line with this sort of a mix?
Well, I suppose the thing is you need to have a frank discussion with them and say, look, what are you planning to do? Plan ahead. That will make everything so much better, because you can say, look, if you're on an antidepressant and you're thinking about using something like ecstasy, one strategy might be to use half the amount that you would normally use and see what happens. That can be a good strategy. But having other people with you as well. So if anything starts going wrong, there's somebody there who can help you. Don't do it by yourself. The other thing is protect yourself. Don't become dehydrated. Take breaks from the dancing. And no matter how good the music is, take 5 minutes out and get a bottle of water and drink it. Keep hydrated. Keep cool. That's really important as well.
All right. Now, what are some of the things that we can actually do or we need to be looking out for if we think one of our mates has actually overdosed?
Well, the thing is that if one of your friends is starting to freak out, just pull them aside and just get them into a quieter space and with less stimuli and see how they are then. If they calm down, great. But if they're starting to get more and more agitated, or if, you know, they pass out or they're getting very, very hot, get help. Get help fast. That's the number one priority, is to get somebody there to help them. If they're conscious and they're talking with you, you can give them some water. And if they're very hot, you can even put some water on their clothing, and that might help cool them down a little bit. That should not delay in any way getting help. When help arrives, be honest. Say, look, this person has taken this drug and they're also on this medication. I think they may be having a reaction. The more the doctor or the ambulance people know, the more they can do to help.
And I suppose they've seen it all before, so really it wouldn't shock them to hear that sort of thing.
God, no, not at all. And it's worse if people try and hide it and make it, you know, look, they're not the cops. They don't care. They want people to be safe and they want people to be alive at the end of the day. And that's what it's all really about.
Excellent. Thank you very much for that.
My pleasure.
Here in the Cubby House for another few more minutes on Joy 94.9. And I would first of all thank
Dr. George.
Like to thank Dr. George Forgan-Smith for coming on with this.
Thanks for having me. It was awesome.
Yes.
I like hanging with you young men.
Thank you. Because we've turned it in from a 4-minute segment to a whole hour with you.
Just on the fly.
Yes. I hope you don't charge by the hour for this.
Oh, well, you'll have to swipe something by the end of the day.
Oh, wonderful.
Watch Cookie complain.
Yes, I'm sure.
Thanks, not bookable.
All right. Now, you've given us lots of information over the weeks and, you know, especially on tonight's episode. Where can the average person find out more information that, you know, you have to spill out to the masses?
Look, I run a blog. It's called thehealthybear.com. Thehealthybear.com. Yeah, go and check it out. And I've got a Facebook page as well. So just check it out. And there's lots of really good information on there about all sorts of health topics.
At the moment, you're also doing submissions for diary entries. So if someone actually puts a question in, you're answering it at the moment, aren't you?
Absolutely. Yeah. You send a question, I'll answer it. I'll do my best.
Awesome. So there you go, thehealthybear.com. Make sure you go on there, have a read through. It's very, very detailed. It's where we usually get all our information from anyway.
That's right. Now, I was going to put in a recipe for tonight's show, but we did run out, so I will be putting it on our website, which is thecubbyhouse.net.au.
And it might even be up to date by Australia Day.
It may be. I am on holidays.
Considering it's a recipe for Australia Day.
Well, if it's not going to be there, it will definitely be on our Facebook, which is facebook.com/thecubbyhouse.
Yes, while you're there, like the page, and you can find out all information about how you can, you know, jump in on our weekly discussions and give your feedback into us as well. Yes.
Now, Kieran and I are housemates, and I've been trying to nail him to the floor to take a photo, considering it's now the two of us, so I've been trying to update photos.
I'm sorry, I've been incredibly busy with Vic Bears, Midsummer Carnival, work, boyfriend. Wow, I just have no life.
You play WoW again?
I do not play WoW.
Damn.
You should get Best Steve. There you go.
Well, he's an awesome hello, both of us are only amateur photographers, yes, but we're still photographers.
Yes.
Oh, okay, there we go. Sounds like a doctor's meeting.
Yes, I know. Now, we also have an email if you want to contact us throughout the week. It is contact@cubbyhouse.net.au.
And we have a website as well, which is thecubbyhouse.net.au.
If you didn't catch it before. So, from the show tonight, I'm Cookie.
I'm Kevin.
And thank you very much. Stay tuned for Fluoro coming up in just a few moments here on Joy 94.9.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.